This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebaugh. The title of this message is Seven Rings of Heaven.
2 Corinthians 12. Someone turn to that, please.
I know a man of Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven.
The what?
Third heaven.
The what?
Third heaven.
Praise the Lord.
The which heaven?
Third.
Well, if it was the third heaven, that would imply that there should have been two more. Now, I want you to write that down because somebody's going to get you out on this one and say that's impossible. There's one heaven. I only ever sung about one. Well, that's true. The songbooks only talk about one heaven, but how many have heard of I'm in seventh heaven? Someone told me tonight that they were in seventh heaven. All right, here are seven rings of heaven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, if Paul recognizes three, then we're not doing any injustice for at least making three rings. I had one guy got so mad just the other day because of that little chart there. Oh, he was mad. He says, you are changing the gospel. He says, you're changing... Look, I didn't write it, buddy. I just read it. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that there are seven rings around the throne. And these rings, in a very peculiar way, parallel certain other scriptures in the Bible, which seem to indicate that there are really, genuinely, in the heavenly realm, seven stages or steps or rings in getting toward the very center. But do you see what I'm talking about? In other words, the authority for believing that there are rings in heaven or stages in heaven is in the Bible itself. All right. The Jewish tradition teaches seven heavens. That's where we get, I'm in seventh heaven. The book of Revelation shows seven rings or seven groups of people that are around the throne. Now, we're connecting Corinthians, Revelation, and Jewish tradition, and it all comes out the same. There are seven stages in our development. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh. You know what that means? That means takes all the grades. Passes all the grades. And gets... In fact, he says, overcome in seven areas. If you don't believe that, read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and there's seven churches. And it gets to the last one, says, to him that overcometh, that's the last one, all seven steps, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I've overcome, and I'm sitting in my Father's throne. There you go. So then, it's possible to actually overcome and go all the way in. Now, we drew it this way in order to conserve space. If I would have had the opportunity, I'd have had a great big chart, and it would look like a bullseye, a dartboard that you know, and it had a center and concentric rings. When we say concentric, we mean each ring has got the same center. And they go out and they're expanding. And if you had a chance to take this home and read some of the scriptures, you've noticed that each group, as it gets toward the center, is a smaller number. Or conversely, as you go outside, it's a bigger group. Well, that makes sense. You know, narrow is the way, and what few there be that find it. And you've already noticed that every step you take with God, it seems like there are 10 people that fall off. Every step that you go on, there. See? And so, That makes sense. Then if you read the songs, they think, by the way, this is going to be a singing place. Jump and join. Every one of these groups sings. They just have a glory time singing songs. And you study the songs they sing, and they show a progressive revelation coming all the way. First, who he is, and then finally their relationship with him, and then who they are as they progressively understand that God is restoring us to that position we formerly held with him when Father Adam and Mother Eve got in the mess, caused us to fall from that position. The whole story is what God is doing to get us back where we once were. Then, at that time, all creation will be actually subject to us, and we will have dominion over all the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field. How many know that that's the way we used to be? And God is doing those things and steps necessary to create within us first the vision. For without a vision, the people perish. If you don't have the vision, you can't reach out and take it. In other words, seek ye first the best gifts. If you don't have a vision to know there's a gift, how are you going to seek it? How are you going to reach out for something that you don't have a vision to get a hold of? Is that making sense to anybody? Now, this little note on the bottom here says, to the overcomer, will I grant to sit with me in my throne? And I saw thrones. And judgment was given unto them, plural. And they, plural, ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Praise God. Thus, we can see that it is predestined for a group of people to actually overcome in all the areas and to sit in his throne. Now, none of us are presumptuous enough to say we have overcome or that we are manifested. In fact, it's rather obvious if you look around that we're not. But we're standing as candidates for that great change. We're going through and taking all the steps necessary so that at the time appointed of the Father, we really will, in all realms, have overcome. However, having this attitude indicates that we're progressively expecting to change. In other words, though I'm already saved, still the scriptures over and over and over again say that we are being saved. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And that scripture was written to people who were already saved. In other words, though they were already saved, they were still being saved. And you notice when I talk, I use my hands at this stage. Because when I talk about already saved, where do I point? My spirit, my heart, my innermost parts, my bowels. It's down in here. That's the real man, the real me. It's saved. Praise God. Listen, this is more than a theology. I've had the experience. I know that my spirit is perfect before the Father. I've had the experience. However, I also know that he said, go back and shape up. In the soul realm, there are still further attitude changes necessary to come into perfection. Now, many of our, what we call the evangelical realm, doesn't teach perfection. They say, oh, well, nobody's perfect. Have you ever heard that? All right. That's true, but let me tell you this. Somebody's going to be perfect. Now, we're standing as candidates for the changes necessary to turn us into that. In other words, the scriptures say, put on the mind of Christ, conform to his own image, then we're going to be like he was. In other words, we'll be thinking like Jesus, we'll be looking like Jesus, we'll be acting like, talking like, miracle-like. In fact, we will be little Christs. I know that's hard on you, but let me tell you something. Did you know the word Christian means a little Christ? If you're a Christian, you are a little Christ. The word Christian technically means a little anointed one. One who is following the anointing. Are you a Christian?
Amen.
You are a little
Christ.
Not a little Jesus now. No, that's different now. Jesus is Savior. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But Jesus said, I give you power. Now you exercise it. Tread on scorpions, devils, but cast them out. Lay hands on sick, whatever it is. You got the power now. And Jesus said, it is finished. So, I was recently in a place. They were praying, Lord, come and heal me. Well, I used to pray that way. Lord, heal me. Well, what did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? What? By his stripes, what's Peter say? Past tense, it's done. Now, if it's finished, then Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father until all his enemies be made his. Who's going to do it? Who is going to make his enemies his footstool? I give you power. You're the ones. We're the ones who are going to finish the job. Is this making sense to anybody here? This job is our job. And we don't pray, Jesus, come back and do your job. He said, it is finished. My job is over. I'm sitting down and waiting until you do your job. Then we can have the kingdom. Then the kingdom of God will be on this earth. I used to believe in silver platter theology. I used to believe that Jesus was coming on a great big white horse and he was going to bring the kingdom to me on a silver platter. And all I had to do was get saved and sit in a rocking chair and wait. How many have heard that kind of theology? Yeah. It's called, well, it is, it's a blessed hope and we're waiting, but there's another realm that we see it now. It's the other side of the coin. And Daniel said, I beheld until the saints took the kingdom. And Jesus said, violently and with force. Now, do you see the difference? One realm, Jesus brings it, hands it to us, and we thank, say, thanks, Jesus. And the other realm, we take it and hand it to him. Then he comes and rules and reigns. Now, which idea seems to embrace more scriptures? You Bible students now, which one? Well, the last one. The one where we do the job and present it to him. Go ahead, Bill. Well, kind of, but not all the way, because I'm thinking that literally, Bill, that you and other people will literally take over physical kingdoms. Spiritual, yes, first, but also literal kingdoms. Now, let me try to say it this way. When Jesus was first here, they said to him over and over again, will thou now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, no. He got it all wrong. He said, I'm going to put the kingdom of heaven within you. How many know it? The kingdom is in our hearts. It's not out here. This thing here is what we call the worldly order. This is made by the world, this piece of equipment, this optical, and so forth. But, he said, as soon as I get some people who've got the kingdom in their hearts, then they can rule and reign with me and take over Warren Sachs Optical Company. Or whatever else it is. Because then you can rule and reign. But wouldn't it be awful if Jesus came tonight?
Come on now, you think just a minute, you know. I know we've been listening to the quartet saying, you know, he's coming, but who's going to rule and reign? Well, I know you're saying, well, us Christians. I hope you don't get your crown tonight. Let's face it, we've got some changing to do. Come on now, Christian, shake it up and down like this. We got some changing to do, some attitude changes. And in fact, the Holy Spirit was given to engraft the Word of God, to change our attitudes, our minds, so that we can come into that thing which is our eternal destiny and to rule and reign with Him. But how can I rule and reign with such a dumb head? I make lots of mistakes. If He sets up the kingdom tonight, come on now, don't you see what I'm driving at? Oh, quit looking at me that way. So will you. Come on. But we're coming into it. We're changing from what we are to what we ought to be. Now, in the circle, we find the throne. Before the throne, we find the seven-branch candlestick, which candlestick was also the eyes of the Lamb. We found the Lamb, slain as it were from before the foundation of the world, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, around this heavenly throne, in a concentric circle, are four created beings. It calls them beasts in the King James Version, and this is a very unfortunate thing. These are not beasts like that lion we read about that attacked that five-year-old girl. How many saw that in the paper just recently? Right. The lion came out and attacked a little girl like this. These are not beastly things that are trying to rip you apart. These are created beings, and they're good guys, not bad guys. Even though it uses the word beast, we normally think a beast is a bad guy. And that caused a lot of confusion in Revelation when we run into these beasts. But I'll tell you, the first time I read that, I couldn't tell the difference between the good guys and bad guys. I didn't know the white hats from the black hats. I couldn't tell my team from theirs. But after I began to see that these guys were good, not that they were beastly, mean things, but they were created beings, which would be the best translation. Then I began to read and saw that one had the face of a lion, or a head of a lion, the other a head of a calf, the third a head of a man, and the fourth the head of a flying eagle. They had wings all about them. They were covered with eyes. With their eyes, they saw forward, they saw backward, and they saw all that was on the side. Now, the eye is a symbol for knowledge, always has been. Zechariah 3:8, Zechariah 4:11. All through the Scriptures, it teaches us that the eye is a symbol for knowledge. And I'll engrave on that stone seven eyes. And over and over and over again, the eye is a symbol for knowledge. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, He sees, He knows everything. Now, when these creatures that are closest to the throne, they see before, in other words, they know all prophecy, what's going to happen. They see behind, they know all the details. Well, when Alexander the Great and Antiochus Epiphanes, they got all history. They see the side, they see at the present time all the details of what's going on in your life and mine. In other words, these four creatures know everything. You got it? The eye, the symbol, they know everything. Now, you have come here tonight in a search for knowledge. How many? You already knew that, didn't you? What you're really for. You have a thirst. And that thirst, it's got to be quenched. And it's got to be by the Holy Spirit, but it's knowledge that's engrafted by the Holy Spirit. Change your attitudes. That's really what every one of us are motivated for. When we come to Bible study or a prayer group or anything like that, it's this concept that maybe something will be said, one word, two words, something that will change my attitudes and change me into what I ought to be instead of what I am. Now shake your head a little bit like this. This is this underlining motivating force. In other words, these guys have got all these eyes. They see before, beside everything. They know everything. And you can quote this next line. The end of the search for knowledge is worship of God. And throughout eternity they cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and shall be. Holy, holy, holy.
And through eternity, they praise God. Because that proves you got smart. When you get smart, you praise Him. For this is the end of the search for knowledge. Praise unto God. Amen. Yes, Vivi? The end of the search for knowledge is praise unto God. When you get smart, when you finally got it, you're going to praise Him. Now this will be the closest to the throne when you know everything. You're not on the throne though. Now the Him that overcometh in all areas will again sit with me on the throne. Around them, in a concentric circle, are 24 elders, 24 thrones, 24 elders, crowns, harps, vials. These elders sing several psalms several times throughout. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto our God by thy blood out of every nation and kindred and tongue of people, and we shall be unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All right. The 24 elders began to sing this song, we shall rule and reign on the earth, and the meek shall inherit cloud nine. The what? Oh, the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Well, most people are not ready for this kind of theology, because most of us want to die and fly away, go through Jordan. You know, take the golden chariot and go on through, and, you know, the fire chariot and go through Jordan, go the way of death. Well, that's what we've been taught for 2,000 years.
But I'll tell you, this way of life is a lot better. Planning on living is much better than planning on dying.
How many can understand that?
Oh, by the way, if I'm wrong, I won't hurt a bit. You'll just go ahead and die.
Won't change anything. But if I'm right, your decision-making will be based on life, victory, thoughts of progress, thoughts of turning into what you ought to, instead of, oh, woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. But if you're coming into victory, those thoughts are not so important anymore. You count it all joy when you're in these pit or sorrowful experiences, knowing they're working out your perfection so you can skip a grade. And walk right on up. So the next time that you're in trouble or trials or tribulations, knowing that they've thrown you into the pit, pray, God, teach me the reason I'm here. Give me that understanding of what I'm going through so that I can get a few points and get out of this place and fall in the next one.
I'm waiting, Lord.
How many have been around long enough to know I'm telling the truth? And this is the story of our life. However, if you see that there's a destiny, without a vision, the people perish, don't you see? And if you think you're just stumbling around, and God's just stumbling around, dragging you from pillar to post, then you're going to give up pretty soon, right? And you're going to die. But if you realize that this is a planned progression for your perfection, then you're going to keep adding unto these things and turn into what you ought to be. Now, is this making sense to anybody here? Man, it makes lots of sense to me. All right. Around them, in a concentric circle, are them that have gotten the victory over the beast. And they sing, great and marvelous are thy works. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to have to let you in on this, truthfully. This is the Let's see, in Revelation 7:4 and in 15:3. This is the victory group in 15:3. Now, if you'll notice that in each one of these groups there are, like for instance, the 24 elders, that's in 14:1 and 4:11. But if you look carefully, 14:1 is the 144,000. Does anybody remember?
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember? Well, it is. 14:1 is the 144,000. And yeah, I've connected that up with 4:11, the 24 elders. Now, some of you heard the lesson where I proved the 24 equals 144. How many heard that lesson? All of apologies to the arithmetic teachers. But, you remember, the 144,000, the two groups, 144, turn into 288. Oh, you were sleeping. You did miss it. All right. Well, anyway, now what I'm trying to show you is that you'll find two descriptions. Remember, now check me out on this. Everything we teach in the book of Revelation has a double or parallel. Remember? Now, if you don't understand that, get the white book. Very important concept. Everything in the book of Revelation has a double and parallel. Now, the 144,000 are the same as the 24 elders. Though I'm sure that if you've never heard that before, you would react against it and say, oh no, don't tell me. 24 can't be 144,000. But if you'd heard the lesson, then you'd see how these are symbols. And they're symbols for the same thing. The 24 elders had harps. They were redeemed from the earth. They sang a new song, right?
Yes.
The 144,000 had harps. They were redeemed from the earth. And they sang a new song. And it said no one was able to sing that song except the 144,000. Chapter 14. Well, if the 24 elders were singing the song, chapter 5, and it tells you in chapter 14 only the 144,000 could sing it, that means the 24 were part of the... There you are, see. That kind of analogy. And it proves it all again. So, if you look in these carefully, you'll discover that the double and parallel continues to hold out. Now, for ease of teaching, I have chosen to refer to these groups this way. As the throne, the four created beings, the 24 elders. But the truth of the matter is, in this 24 elder ring, you got the 144,000. Are you with me? Sorry, you need the white book, but if you'd have heard the lesson, you'd see it. And the 144,000 are the same thing as 24 elders. And we already saw that the 24 elders and 144,000 don't complete the group yet either. Because out of Chronicles, we found out it's how many thousand? 288,000 that completes the total group. So we got to get the other 144,000 in as well. And then we begin to see, well, these can't be literal numbers. They're symbolic numbers.
For the second part of this message by David Ebal, entitled Seven Rings of Heaven, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.